welcome to the PGPC podcast. My name is Jared Kieber, and I'm glad that you are with us. As always, you can check out our church's website at PrinceGeorgePentecostalChurch.com. If you have questions or topics that you would like to hear discussed, there's a form on there you can fill out, and we'll have a look at that and possibly talk about the topic you'd like to hear discussed or answer questions you may have. The purpose of this podcast is to help build up our local church, but also to be here for people who may not want to come into the building yet. We would love to see you, but maybe you just have some questions that you want answered or something along those lines, and we would love to hear from you. Last week, if you listened, we talked about medicine and the Imago Dei at one point, the idea being, and I can't take credit for this idea, I first read it, I believe, in Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology, which is a great text. If you want to dig into what the Bible teaches and go deep, but at the same time, be able to understand what's going on, Wayne Grudem's Systematic Theology is stellar, in my opinion. But that's kind of where I saw first this idea tying together medicine and the Imago Dei. The Imago Dei being the Christian doctrine that we are all created in the image of God, and so we glorify God by imitating Him. And so God is about restoration, about making people whole, specifically, in this lifetime or primarily at least of healing us from our sin, which He does through the cross and through His death and resurrection. But we also see in the ministry of Jesus and throughout the scriptures that God also heals people. And if you look at a trajectory of the scripture, there is a working towards making people whole. So this idea of when we act in a way that heals, or we act in a way that makes people whole, we're actually glorifying God because we are imitating Him. Now, if you work that out, you understand that God is perfect and we aren't, and therefore the things that we do that imitate Him are often not perfect. Medicine would be an example of that. Medicine is great. Drugs, when used properly, are beneficial to us. But I think everybody knows that there's also the flip side of that, that there can be abuse of prescription medication, and there can certainly be abuse of, we could just even call them mind-altering substances. I think just about everybody has the story of a medication for me it'd be, medication altering the way you think. I remember when I had just graduated from college, my wife had a year left, and so she was in school. I was working at a golf course, which is great, by the way, when it was sunny out. Because you just kind of mow grass, and man, it was awesome. Did a lot of good thinking and just enjoyed that. When it rained, it wasn't so much fun because it was in the lower mainland in Fort Langley. And man, sometimes I would look at the weather forecast for the week, and it'd be like Monday, 30 millimeters of rain. Tuesday, 40 millimeters of rain. Oh, Wednesday looks like a good day. It's only going to rain 20 millimeters. And so that was kind of miserable. But anyways, I was working at a golf course, and my wife, Caitlin, was interning with a program called the Omega Program at Summit Pacific College. And me and a couple of guys from her team went out for lunch. I took them to a place called Dragon Fort in Abbotsford. If you are ever in Abbotsford and you want good Chinese food, Dragon Fort is the place to be. One of my all-time favorite places to go. You get a massive plate of food, and it's like $5 or $6. It's incredible. Anyway, so I took them there, and on the way home, and this is kind of we always joke, I got the fortune cookie, and in the fortune cookie it said, a man with brown eyes has a surprise for you. And on the way home in my little 1983 Honda Civic sedan, we were kind of sideswiped by like an F-350, a big truck anyways. And so he was turning right onto the highway and slid, kind of did a power slide into the side of my car. So we were kind of parallel, but he pushed us into the Meridian, and we got jerked around pretty good. I was driving, and so my shoulder got really just jacked up in that accident, and so I was off work for a number of months. At one point, a doctor prescribed to me a medication called amitriptyline. Now, what amitriptyline is it's actually an antidepressant, but the side benefit of that, and the reason that it was prescribed to me, was it helps you relax, so it works as a muscle relaxant as well. Either I didn't understand what some of the effects of that medication would be, or it wasn't explained to me. We'll give the doctor the benefit of the doubt and say I just didn't understand it. But it can kind of alter your mood. And so the first night that I took amitriptyline, we were in our dorm building playing games with some friends, and I went and took this medicine. And next thing I know, my two buddies are kind of laughing at me, and I'm like, "What?" And they're like, "Dude, you are as high as a kite right now. Like, you're not yourself." And I didn't even realize it. When they said it, it was kind of like, "Oh yeah, I'm not a touchy feely person." I became very touchy feely. I remember going back to our room and brushing my teeth and just laughing hysterically. I mean, that was kind of, you know, this experience with a prescription drug where it was altering my mood. And the next morning we were driving up to, go into what we call the academic building. And I went from being, you know, kind of giddy to my wife saying, "Hey, why don't you park there?" And that simple statement, I flew off the hook. And I was like, "I'm going to park where I want to park. Don't tell me where to park." I kind of sat there, what is going on? And we figured out, you know, that's not generally how I am. And we figured out that was kind of a result of my body adjusting to that, the drug that was prescribed to me. And so we kind of see this, you know, this idea of it's good to work, towards, healing. And medicine is not a bad thing, but it certainly has its you know, side effects, I guess, is the good word for it. And then you come to some mind altering things along with medication. And the reason I talk about medication is because we're gonna get to marijuana here in a second. But you come to these mind altering things that our society uses recreationally. And what do we do with those, specifically from a Christian perspective? I remember, a number of years ago, I started out doing youth ministry, working with teenagers. And every year, our zone, a few churches in our area, we'd get together for an event called Snowfear. And one of the things that we would do is we'd do a forum where you could do an Ask Me Anything. And so we'd have, you know, four or five people up at the front. And then we had a mic where students could ask questions or text in, because that was less intimidating. And, we did it a couple times. And there were things that would come up that, you know, always came up, human sexuality. Would always come up, but somebody asked a question, and this was before legalization was really on the table. Why can't Christians smoke weed if God's creation is good, and marijuana is a natural part of God's creation? My response starting out was, if it has medical benefits, then I'd view it the same way as, Tylenol. use it for those medical benefits, but don't abuse it. The funny thing is with the argument from it being natural, is there are a lot of things that are natural that you better not put in your body. And one of the guys that was there pointed that out. I think of an article I was reading pretty recently, where people in Metro Vancouver especially were encouraged, don't pick mushrooms because there are some death cap mushrooms, and they look like some other, you know, edible mushrooms, but if you eat them, it's going to jack with your body, you know. And so the idea that just because something's natural, you should put it in your body, falls apart pretty quickly. And when you come to that idea of God's creation being good, yes, God's creation is good, but it's also fallen as a result of sin, and therefore, you know, you have to hold that in tension, which we don't do well at all, most of the time. And one of the things, as a pastor and as someone who loves, you know, the Bible, is I find people don't do well with a lot of the tensions that exist in the Bible. We have a men's prayer group, and we were talking about this last week, you know, God's sovereignty versus human freedom. How do we hold those things in tension? And we won't dive into that. Maybe another time we can have that conversation. But regardless, we live in a world that is good, but also is fallen. And so the natural argument maybe isn't perfect. So let's talk for a minute anyways about weed as medicine, marijuana as medicine, because in Canada, it's becoming legal to use marijuana as a you know, recreational substance. Kind of started out as the idea that marijuana has medicinal benefits. A number of weeks ago, probably actually, you know, say a number of weeks ago, several months ago, it was so good it stood out in my mind, and it seems like weeks ago, but several months ago, our local ministerial had a psychologist from the hospital come and chat with us, and the psychologist said, you know, people dealing with severe mental health issues as a result of marijuana use essentially pays his bills. And so there's this idea that marijuana is pretty harmless. If you talk to someone in the medical profession, I think you're going to get a different perspective. And the example that this individual used was, you know, first and foremost, the marijuana that's available today is not the marijuana that you know, my dad's generation saw. You know, the marijuana from the 70s or 80s, and I believe the psychologist's the comparison was, you know, if you compare weed in the 80s to weed now, it's like compare a beer versus now 10 beers and some cocaine. And so, you know, not really good for you. On top of that, suggested that, you know, the book was written on the medicinal benefits of marijuana a long time ago, and nobody seriously decided to pursue it because they just didn't seem to be a lot there. So this idea of marijuana as medicine seems to break down. That being said, I still kind of stand by what I said earlier. If there are medicinal, legitimate medicinal benefits, sure. But from my understanding, they're not as prominent as a number of the proponents of marijuana use would like us to think. So, with that being said, let's talk about another, and we're going to come back to this and what a bottom line would be on this, but, you know, another comparable societally would be the use of alcohol You know, we talk about mind-altering substances, and I think alcohol would be something that's different from marijuana in the sense that you can have a little bit, and it's not going to alter your mind significantly, at least for most people. So what do we do with alcohol consumption as Christians when it's something that does have the ability to alter your mind? In the Pentecostal circles, which is what we're part of, my local church, we have asked our pastors, essentially, in my understanding, to abstain from alcohol use. I know that's always a point of discussion at our conferences and all of those things. We stem from what's called the holiness movement, and we won't go into that a ton now, but it's the idea of, you know, abstaining from anything, essentially, because it might stain you. That's an oversimplification, and anyways, I digress. But what do we do with alcohol consumption? Well, here's where we would kind of go with it. In my opinion, anyways, I don't think for a Christian perspective that you can write off drinking things with alcohol in them. I've heard the argument, you know, when the Bible was written, the water was so bad that you needed a little bit of alcohol content to sterilize it, and so that's why they drank wine. I don't think that that's a very good argument, and I'll tell you why. You go back to Jesus turning the water into wine, which is a lot of people in our culture's favorite miracle. It was a wedding feast, and I think that they were drinking the wine to enjoy the wine. I heard a story once. I don't know where I heard it, but it was pretty funny. A Baptist pastor sat down and had some wine at his dinner at a restaurant, and a lady from his church came up to him and goes, "Pastor, you shouldn't be drinking that." And he said, "Well, you know, Jesus drank wine," and her response was, "Well, I don't think any better of him for it either." You know, and it's just kind of this funny idea that we have of almost prohibition when I don't think that the scriptures actually go there. But I do think that we need to be careful with how we treat alcohol. And here's the reason. An overconsumption of alcohol distorts reality. And that's where we come back to the discussion on marijuana. The issue becomes when reality begins becoming distorted. And I think that there are a couple of issues similar with both of these things or with other substances that are going to distort reality. There are some issues that Christians need to keep in mind when you begin to come into contact with these things. The first is this. Oftentimes, we distort reality because we're self-medicating. You know, and you'll see this with alcoholics specifically, man, drowning out the life you don't want, right? So maybe your marriage isn't what you want it to be. Maybe work's just not what you want it to be. Maybe your kids are not what you want them to be. Maybe life in general just hasn't turned out well for you. So what's a good way to deal with it? You drink a lot to numb disappointment or numb anything. You know, we can use substances to start numbing reality, and that's just not a good answer. And specifically, you look in the Bible. Again, this is a Christian perspective on these. I think if you're not a Christian, you're listening to this. I don't know how you deal with these kinds of things because I don't know where your framework would stand. Or, you know, what is even a healthy person? How do you define what a healthy person is. From a Christian perspective, you're always measuring against who Jesus is. Okay, so how did Jesus live? He's the perfect example of a perfect person. From a non-Christian perspective, I don't know how you would deal with these things. Maybe you have an answer for that. I just don't see it. But when you come to this from a Christian perspective, you look at a chapter like 1 Peter 5, and Peter's writing to Christians. He says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a lion seeking someone to devour." Be sober-minded. What's the reason? Because a lack of sober-mindedness will lead you or make you vulnerable to temptation, will make you vulnerable to a very real enemy. And so when you begin to come back with that in mind to things like marijuana, when you come to things like alcohol, you know, altering reality in your mind, it makes you susceptible to doing dumb things. And we all know this, right? You know, like, this isn't something that is, you know, a surprise. I think just about everybody has a good handful of stories of somebody who's done something dumb because they were drunk. And, you know, a lot of times we laugh about it. And man, some of those stories are funny. Like, I think you would have to completely lack a sense of humor not to, to see how some stories of people just getting too drunk to function well and doing dumb things are funny, right? And yet at the same time, they're stupid, if I could say that. And from a Christian perspective, there's this idea of, you know, don't distort reality. Rather be sober-minded, because then you can act in a way that honors who God is. You know, one of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. You can't act in a way that's self-controlled when you're drunk or when you're high. It just doesn't work. And so when you come to this from a Christian perspective, looking at it, sober-mindedness is something that's valued. And that's really where you begin coming to the bottom line with mind-altering substances. It's interesting, at some point, if you talk to people long enough, there'll be pushback on, well, we use some mind-altering substances all the time, and nobody has a problem with that. For example, I just took a big drink of my coffee, and caffeine is a mind-altering substance. So why is that okay when it's not okay to get drunk or to get high? And I think the best answer that I've heard to that was on I don't know if it was a podcast or an article, it was on desiringgod.org, which is a really good website. Pastor John Piper, I think he's a fantastic preacher. He's written some great books, and they'll, on that website, deal with questions like this. The difference between caffeine and a lot of other substance, mind-altering substances, is caffeine brings reality into focus, whereas something like alcohol or weed distorts reality. And so, you know, there's something to be said for that. I think you can abuse caffeine, believe it or not. And there can come a point where you're not functioning healthily as a person and you're relying on caffeine to function. Probably not healthy. You know, it's probably not a good thing for you. And maybe you need to reevaluate your life a little bit if you need coffee to function. And I say that, and, you know, it's tough. I drink quite a bit of coffee, and I never used to. I actually started drinking coffee when I worked at the golf course, because I'd have to be up at about 4 in the morning, and the way it started was I'd have my wife make me a pot of coffee that would turn on in the morning, because I didn't know how to make coffee, and I would load it up with hot chocolate powder so that it tasted good. And then slowly I started drinking coffee with milk and sugar in it, and, you know, as Good old Tim Hortons Double Double was my go-to. And then what happened is I mentioned we have a men's prayer meeting, and almost every week the guy, like, we pray for half an hour, and then we talk and we have coffee for half an hour. And every week the guys would make fun of me, all older guys, right? Because I put so much sugar and milk or cream in my coffee. And so finally I gave in to the peer pressure, and I just started drinking it black. And now I've gone from, you know, making it into my early 20s with never drinking coffee all the way through college, never drank coffee, and now I'm pretty consistently two or three a day. What I've done for myself personally is I say after 2 o'clock, on weekdays especially, I'm not going to have any coffee because I want to be able to sleep at night, and that's kind of how I've handled that to try and be a healthy person. I've completely lost my train of thought there. Where do we come back to? All right, here we go. We're back. I've got it. Looked at my notes here for a minute. So here's where we come back to. I don't think that you can consume marijuana without distorting reality, my understanding. I've never used marijuana, so that's on the table there. But I don't think you can do it from what I've seen. And so I would say from a Christian perspective, that would probably take marijuana off the table. Alcohol, I think you need to be really careful. I think you need to be really careful, because what I've seen from a lot of Christians is this emphasis on, well, I'm free to drink alcohol and enjoy it. And as far as I understand the Bible, you are. You absolutely are. But what I've seen a lot of Christians do is, man, they'll come as close to the line of distorting reality as they can without saying that they're drunk. And I don't think that that's, you know, the intention of enjoying, you know, whatever it is that you enjoy, a beer or some wine or, you know, whatever it is. And so I would just say, be careful. And the question you should be asking is, am I honoring God by being sober-minded and being able to be self-controlled? And if you're getting to the point where you can't, there's a problem there that you probably need to address. So, all of that being said, I don't really know where to go from there. The couple things to think on, you know, what do we do with these things that are becoming more and more prominent in our society? I think sober-mindedness is really kind of the thing to keep in mind. Have a good one. See you next week.